Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, March 4th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can raise or lower your virtual hands by pressing *9. Everybody who is on the video conference can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute themselves. And if you're intending to speak, you can click on the raise hand icon under reactions that will raise or lower your virtual hands. We are going to have everybody on mute initially. And as people raise their hands, we will have an indication that somebody's trying to make comments, and then the recognized individual will be able to make their comments. Just a friendly reminder that we have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name first and then your comment. It helps them in doing their job. It also helps everyone who is on the phone call, and when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speaker is at the time. We also request speakers to please describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. All right, Madam Chairish. I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud and then take the roll call of the committee members if you concur.
Please do.
Okay, thank you.
Alert.
And now I would request everyone to please stay on mute. Thank you. Before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen for the convenience of everyone who can see it. Also, if you would bear with me for a quick moment. If somebody could confirm that my screen is visible, I would appreciate that.
We can see your screen.
Okay, thank you. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. And Madam Chair Rush will go through the approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. Afterwards, we will have a brief discussion about budget hearings follow-up. That's a committee discussion. Then we will have public comments, followed by AAC bylaws discussion, which pertains to only the AAC members and the bylaws work group meeting members. That will be followed by bus and rail subcommittee report, and then the Metro Access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. At this point, I would stop sharing my screen. When I call out your names, AAC members, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura? Darnie Bush?
Audio now unmuted.
Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles?
I am a middle-aged African-American with curls in my hair. And
thank you.
T-shirt, present.
Rico Dancy. I believe.
Present. Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard, Steve Caffin,
present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum,
present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell,
present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel,
present.
Thank you. Phil Posner, I believe Dr. Posner is connected with us. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan is not going to be able to join us today. Kelly Simonov.
Present.
Thank you. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's AAC meeting. I just want to remind any members of the public, if you would like to make comments, please raise your hand at the time when we begin the public comment section. If you're able to send me a chat message, please do so. This will allow us to know how many members of the public are intending to make comments, and we can take their comments in the order received. Every member of the public will be provided 2 minutes to speak and make their comments. And I would request everyone to please stay within your times allotted. Thank you. And at this point, Madam Chair, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Good evening, everyone. First, I would like to get approval of the agenda for today as previously reported. Can I get?
So moved.
Second.
Any oppositions? Any changes? Well, it's approved as read. Next, the minutes for the previous meeting. Has everyone read them? Can I get a motion?
Motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
Audio now unmuted.
Second, Vanessa.
This is Sandy Newzel. One change, I was not present at the meeting. On February 5th, I was listed as being present, but I wasn't there.
Thank you, Sandy. We will correct that. Thank you.
Can I get a motion to approve the minutes as revised?
So approved as revised.
Second.
Any oppositions? Well, it's approved. We have no other corrections and no oppositions. Next, a new...
The board report, Madam Chair.
Okay. We're going to have to revise the board minute, but what you have read previously, and we always revise it because there's an early board meeting this Thursday. And we don't even have time to discuss the minutes for the bus, rail, or metro access because the meeting is so early this month. But can I get approval for what you have read that we want to present to the board of directors?
Does that mean
I couldn't hear you.
Does that mean that we can revise things in the next day or so?
Yes, well, there's only one board meeting, and that is Thursday.
Madam Chair, this is Anu, if I may clarify. The board report as presented at this point, unless there are any amendments now, the board report would be submitted to the board of directors the way it is. So there will not be any changes to this board report.
Understood.
Thank you.
Okay. The only amendment I would make depends on what we discussed tonight in terms of what came out of the public hearings. Anything significant, we'll just add an amendment to it as needed.
Good idea.
Could I get a motion to approve the board of directors meeting with any revisions that we may have tonight. Can I get a motion to approve it?
So move.
I'll second.
Okay, any oppositions to that approval?
I would just add, you also will have the option based upon what they do at the meeting as to any changes you might want to make that are relevant to the hearings.
Okay, so can I get a motion to approve it with the revisions that we have discussed tonight?
Approved with the revisions, so approved.
Second.
Any oppositions? Well, it's approved. Thank you very much.
Okay. Madam Chair, this is Anu. The next topic of discussion is budget hearings follow-up, and that's a committee discussion.
Okay, well, I first want to thank those who took time to come out and testify on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Also, I want to thank those who wrote letters, filled out the survey. Any participation that you had with these hearings are greatly appreciated. I attended Monday and Tuesday. Paul attended all three. We didn't have 100% participation, but the participation that we had from the committee was greatly approved because they needed to hear and see. And we have been stressing that. Anu, I can't see the hands of those who want to speak about the hearings. Could you tell me who had their hand up first?
Madam Chair, this is Anu. And at this point, we have Dr. Posner and then Paul Semaphore with their hands up. Dr. Posner,
all go right. Ahead.
Thank you. I listened in and watched online for all the meetings. I want to compliment everybody. You all did a wonderful job. And there were a number of people outside the committee that hit the nail right on the head. And the points were made. And the other thing that was nice this year, as opposed to last year, there were different board members at the different meetings. And so they did get to physically see and hear people. And so I think there was a lot of impact. And again, we don't have to worry about anything drastic until July. And there's still a lot of time and a few elections for money to come in. So thank you. That's my 2 minutes. Applause to everyone.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. This is Anu. Next would be Paul Semaphore, followed by Thomas Mangram.
Good evening, Paul Semaphore, African-American male, shaved head, wearing a black long sleeve shirt. Welcome, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. I want to say it was very wonderful to see all three nights. There were a lot of members of who rode Metro Access in the disability community come out to speak at all three hearings. They were dominant in all three hearings. It was wonderful to see as almost the majority of the speakers to speak to keeping the Metro Access service area as is, to keeping the same service hours and times and flat fares, and to also tell their story of how it will severely impact them if there is any loss of the service area or the times. And I think that it really resonated and honed in very passionately towards the board members, and that we made ourselves very heard very loud and clear. And we just have to keep sticking to that narrative as the months go by, right before the final decision is made, and keep pushing forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Next would be Thomas Mangrum, followed by Tino Calabia. Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Thomas Mangrum. I'm African-American. And I would like to thank all the law enforcement officers that showed up on Tuesday. I'm glad that wasn't what we thought that was, but they showed up fast. So Metro, so security and other security showed up, and I'm really happy about all of that. What have you? So I feel safe to go to some more hearings and whatnot. So that was a blessing, especially living in our days and time. So I hope to hear more about Thursday that's coming up. So hopefully I might be there or be on Zoom. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Next would be Tino Calabia. Tino, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Tino. I'm Filipino-American, wearing glasses. Regarding the hearings on Tuesday night, I must admit, I was rather discombobulated by what suddenly happened. So I was thrown off a bit when it came time to present my testimony. one of the things, though, that I stressed was the fact that although one of the people at the head table said that all three jurisdictions have provided the promised monies to make up for the budget shortfall. That's not exactly right. In fact, Virginia has not. And the Senate appropriations person, who is also president pro tem for the Virginia Senate, has determinedly left it out of her budget. So I wanted then to stress that Virginia has not come through. And I want to stress to you all now that Virginia has not come through. The third point that I made was hoping to make it. It was in my prepared testimony, but given the time allotment and my kind of discombobulation, I didn't get to it. But my third point was to support the positions, the descriptions of the damages that would be done were the budget to not be met, and WMATA be forced to take certain steps. And I'm sure that in all three hearings, members of the Metro Access Committee and others stressed the damages that would be done to their services. And I supported that too in my third point. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. Next would be Steve Kaffran. Steve, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, it was my first time in Virginia in a while. And I just want to thank Doris for that last minute email where she gave the ideal directions in how to find the courthouse area, and especially in Lorain. It was very much appreciated. I actually took the elevator versus the stairs and turned left and then turned left, just as she said, and there was the entrance. And It was pretty windy and pretty messy. And so, Doris, thank you very much. Yes, and thank you, Tito, for clapping for me. Also, you know, I just like to make a statement that Mr. Blake, I don't know if he attended the other two, but he was certainly present in Virginia, sitting there and listening very attentively. I know he was listening closely to me because he commented specifically on what I said after I had finished. And, you know, I was just impressed. It was a pretty messy night to come out, and there he was. And also, two of the people who spoke specifically commended Mr. Blake by name as being, you know, important elements in the, you know, in what we do, and specifically in Metro Access. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next is Doris Ray. Doris, go ahead.
I just wanted to also say that I really want to commend Mr. Blake for being there, and I meant to do it in my testimony. And as everyone says, the time limit on us was pretty short. And the people who did speak and mentioned Mr. Blake are folks from Arlington, actually, who use STAR but also use Metro Access, and it was very wonderful. I cannot tell you how wonderful it was to hear them say, we really like the changes that have been made in Metro Access, and now enjoy riding it, because that's always been the controversy in Arlington, was that a lot of people did not want to ride Metro Access. So you've done an enormous job, Mr. Blake. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, in my testimony, I tried to focus on getting the local elected officials from Northern Virginia who were there to understand their and act on their role in this, because now the budget process has started in Northern Virginia, and there'll be hearings, most of them occurring in early to mid-April. And so we're starting to work and help in that to make sure that they understand that they need to fully fund Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access, and start working on it now, because they don't. It won't matter what the state of Virginia does. And I do want to say last thing, that right now everything's in the hands of the conference committee. And tomorrow they will be finishing and releasing conference report. And the next thing that will happen is that it will go to an up or down vote in both the full House and the full Senate. Any controversy that may lead either going to the last minute for any changes, or going to an extended session. And so I do have now a budget item number for the amendment. That is what we need to be asking them to support, and it's budget item number 433.1H for House. So it's Delegate Sickles' amendment, and it does not include it. It's only for an increase in and full funding of Metro without mention of the issues over the sports arena. And so that's the one we need to be, if we're going to call, for example, tomorrow, that's the one we need as individuals, I assume.
Okay.
Our status is for.
Doris, thank you. This is Phil, and I'll remind you that Governor Youngkin.
That's what I want to make sure of, and I'm completing my statement.
Yes, Doris, I'll remind you that Governor Youngkin is going to be running for the Senate against Senator Kaine in the coming election. And we also have members of the current legislature that are going to be running for governor. So calls are a good time right now. And we do have some support. I've spoken to Rip Sullivan in the Senate and Patrick Hope in the House and to Tim Kaine in the federal government. They really need Northern Virginia votes. And we need to explain to them to get Northern Virginia votes, they have to support WMATA and Metro Access. So sorry about taking
well,
an extra
for right,
couple
for,
minutes.
For right now, though, for the next... For this evening and tomorrow, we need to focus on trying to get that budget amendment to remain in the budget, because that is the only way the issue will survive, other than some action from the government. But
yes,
but
the governor can sign it, and that's what he has to do. And he needs Northern Virginia votes to get elected. He wants to be a senator. So that's what I'm saying, is Youngkin is very vulnerable to want votes from Northern Virginia, and he needs to be reminded of it.
Okay. Thank you, Doris, and thank you. Thank you, Dr. Posner. Sandy Newsell, you're up next, so go ahead.
Hi. Caucasian, senior, female, gray hair. I want to commend Christian Blake. Tuesday evening, he did come around and speak to each of us that he knows on the AAC after the kerfuffle settled down and the Metro Police had assured us that everything was fine. I also want to say that in addition to AAC members speaking Tuesday evening, there were many people who spoke up about, or at least a few people who spoke up about the need for long-term funding for Metro, which I'm sure the Metro Board is quite aware of, but it was reassuring to hear people talking about that need, not just FY25, but finding stable funding into the future. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair Rush, we have no further hands up for this topic.
Okay. I just want to say that Tuesday was frightening. I've attended many hearings and many board meetings, and I have never had to hit the floor. It was very frightening and upsetting. But for those who wanted to continue afterwards and testify, they should be commended. There was I guess she was about 15 years old, and I don't know her name, but that young lady who spoke about not being able to get to school, she was awesome. She was the best speaker that I heard that night. She knew what she was talking about, the bus lines, the times, and she was excellent. And she should be commended, but I don't know her name, but I'm sure others heard her and agreed that she was on point for 15 years old. She sounded like, and she was very concerned about the students, not if you cut that line, that they will not be able to get to school. And they'll have to ride and transfer two or three times and get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning so that they could get to school on time, because they're going to have to transfer two times to just get to school, and the same thing to get home. Did any of you all hear that?
Yes, of course.
Her speech was excellent. Do we agree?
I agree.
Yeah, she was awesome. Thank you, Felipa. You weren't going to speak, but you spoke, and it wasn't a problem. I really appreciate that. Certainly, Metro Access has changed from 20 years ago when I started, 24 years ago. It's come a long way, and I told them that there's been changes, and it's working. People love it. Those who don't like it, don't dial that number and don't use it. I'm not mad with you, but the system has drastically changed from when I started, and people were commending Mr. Blake and the first responders were there in 2 seconds with guns drawn and on it. They were on it, and you did feel safe. It was like, wow, this is like a movie. I thought it was, being able to see it was, it was just experience it was unbelievable. But again, I just want to thank everybody who did stay, who did testify on Monday, those who came. And there were the disability community came out full force all three nights. They came out more than the bus riders or the rail riders. But there were some people who came out who were very concerned about those issues. But the disability community really showed up and showed out. So thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I knew what's next.
So next we will begin our public comment section. And I would remind all the members who would like to speak and make comments, you would have 2 minutes. We will have a timer on for 2 minutes. When each individual starts speaking, the clock of 2 minutes will start. Right now, we have only one member who wants to make comments. That's Heidi Case. If we have any other members of the public who intend to make comments, please let me know. Otherwise, we will go on to any AAC members who are intending to make comments during public comment section. So, Heidi.
Well, excuse me, Anu. Did we notify the public that the public comment was going to be earlier today? Because most people might start getting on the line a little later than earlier.
Madam Chair, the agenda was posted online since last week. And on the agenda, we have public comments at the time at 5:55, and it is 6:03 now. And the reason we have public agenda now is because the next topic for the remainder of the meeting is bylaws.
And that's for AAC members only?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Heidi.
Hello.
Heidi?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, it took me a second. My name is Heidi Case. I'm an older white woman with gray hair and glasses. I do want to say you didn't see me there Tuesday because I wasn't, but I did indeed do the virtual hearing on Thursday to further express the same concerns that these meetings have been discussing. I wanted to make a comment about bylaws. I have ex gone through this process once a long time ago with this committee. One of the issues in creating new bylaws that I've seen is that every time new bylaws were made, but one of the things of bylaws, it says how many years and terms a person can continue to be on the advisory committee. And what's happened is every time you did bylaws, you started that clock all over, which is why you have people on so many years, way past what current bylaws actually allow. And I don't know if you plan on discussing that, but I think it's relevant and I value. I think that a new people coming in should be allowed, and people who've been on for a long time have to rotate off, at least for some period. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other members of the public would like to make comments? Please tell us now.
I'd like to make a public comment.
I see your hand up. I'm trying to make sure that we don't miss any members of the public before we begin with the AAC members. Okay, so in that case, since we have no other members of the public, I, Deborah Dunaway, all right. Bear with me for a quick moment. I see a message from Deborah Dunaway. She is trying to share something which she cannot. Deborah, would you like to make any comments? If you would unmute yourself or write a note in the chat. Deborah, if you would like to make any comments, go ahead and unmute yourself. Okay, I'm not able to hear her.
She's not unmuted.
Okay, I would go ahead with the AAC members at this point. Tina Calabia, followed by Steve Kaplan.
Okay, I got it. I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so bye. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm a bit technically challenged today. Okay, I just want to speak on behalf of a friend of mine who takes Metro Access, and he's blind. Very often, I am also Metro Access. So very often what he has to do is he has to send me a text telling me that he has not been picked up by an Uber, that he didn't get an Uber code, just all that junk that goes with it. And very often I'm not getting the links, and I don't know why, because it is not my phone. It is not about updating. My phone is a 15 Pro Max. There's no way. There's some disconnect there. Sorry if I'm speaking on something that already has been spoken on. What I'm saying is, if somebody is disabled and blind, it would really, really be good if he can text someone at Metro Access, because he tries to call and he's on hold for over 40 minutes. I mean, I facilitated and helped him with pickups to a text line. And I'm doing this from Montgomery Village, and he's all the way down in Silver Spring at Inwood House. So I think for some disabilities, it really needs to be addressed that there needs to be a lot more collaboration on the part of Metro Access to facilitate with people who are having problems seeing things that are sent. Like at all, whether it's partial blindness or entire blindness. And he is a very, very capable person. He's been blind since he was 2. So this isn't like it's a learning curve at all. So I just wanted to, you know, throw that out there. I have found that, thank you, I've found that it has been much better since it's been that we can text someone. But I'm just letting you know, yesterday I had to get to them 4 times and I still had to call in. Okay. And by the time I got to them, it was 2 a.m. and I was supposed to be picked up at 9 p.m. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. I would request any members of the public is that if you have any incidents or concerns, either send me a direct message in the chat and provide with specifics as far as trip information or ID number, that would be helpful. If you're not able to send me a direct message in the chat, please send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com and provide us with specific information so that...
He's done that. He's done all of that and above. He's just so tired of it. And that's why he reaches out to me to do this for him.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah.
3 nights in a row, they didn't show up to pick him up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. So if we have no additional members of the public who would like to make comments, we will begin with AAC members.
For... my hand is up, Anu.
I see that, Felipe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We will begin with AAC members. And again, everybody will have 2 minutes. Starting with Tino Calabia, Steve Caffin. I'm sorry. Bear with me. Tino Calabia, Steve Caffin, Philip Weintraub, Philippa Mazzell, Enrico Danzi. So Tino, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
I raised my hand, by the way.
Okay, thank you, Doris. I will put your name in on the list.
Anu, I wanted to raise my hand with respect to the budget hearing, not the public comments.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Then next person would be Steve Caffin. Steve, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Okay. Thank you, Anu. Steve Caffin, I'm a white male wearing a blue shirt. And there we are. I've got an auditing background and a financial background. And so, you know, with an auditing background, you don't just identify a problem. You've got to have a recommendation. Otherwise, you don't issue the finding at all. And this one is very difficult, but I'd like to use my time to explain. I ride a lot of buses, and I see more and more people just walking onto the bus without, without paying or using MetroCard. And my concern is it's almost gotten to the point where some people may be under the assumption that it's now a free service, because I see not only people who truly can't, you know, are going to be challenged with that $2, but others who certainly will not be, who just walk on. And I wonder whether that's an assumption which needs to be handled. I think the key, at least an initial key, and we may have to go at some point to free service, the initial key is to get as many people as we can using Metro cards. And right now, and we want weekly or monthly fees. The way to do it is incremental. In other words, instead of having a fixed amount, have it incremental up to a certain amount. That gives people comfort. Mm-hmm. That if they only use the service for one time in a week, they just pay for that one time and not for a week of service. And I think we eliminate the $2 charge, make the cards free. We start that way and then we see. But if half the people aren't going to pay, maybe we have to go to some element of subsidization of the service or something. It's more and more of a challenge that I see as I'm riding the buses. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Next would be Philip Weintraub. Go ahead, Philip.
What I'm talking about is I've been meaning to talk about this. It just, but I think I right now, I that you know, it's only 7 months later. But I think I need to bring up about like how, what I experienced during, like during that shutdown of the downtown stations back in December, where they had to, where we had to take that bus bridge. I'd like to also let you know that when that when this one day I was like need to get off, I need to get, I was trying to get from work downtown by Metro Center to a meet, like to a meeting up in North Bethesda area, and that like I took the bus to DuPont Circle where they get onto the train. I go down the escalator. Then they were blocking the escalator, saying that station is closed. I need to catch a bus up to Woodley Park. Then they say it's open. So I go down the escalator. I wait for like 5 minutes. Then they say they're going to close the station back up. So they send us back up the escalator and made us catch a wait 5 minutes, catch a bus up to Woodley Park, where they didn't. Where I had to wait about 10 minutes for a train to finally come. And could you please be sure, like, in any future when stuff like this happens, be sure, like, if there's any instance on top of the construction or whatever the plan shutdown, that they need to deal with it in a way that's going to be orderly, so people won't be waiting forever or be confused and whatever.
Okay, thank you, Philip. Next would be Philippa Mazel. Philippa, go ahead.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My comment really was just to clarify for anyone on the call who wasn't aware of what happened, and for the record, that what happened at the February 27 Metro proposed budget hearing was our dear Sandy was testifying, and suddenly there was a loud bang and a glass window shattered, and someone screamed it was a gun, and panic ensued, and the Metro Police promptly were in the room, told us to get on the floor for safety's sake, but that there was no threat inside the building, and they went out to confront whatever the threat might be, not knowing what awaited them. And, you know, I wanted to give them kudos for that, because, you know, that's a very bold and brave thing to do. Turned out it was an errant pulley and hook from a tow truck. So I just wanted that for anyone who didn't know what happened, and for the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Philippa. Next would be Rico Dancy. Rico, go ahead.
Hello. First I want to thank the whole team for doing y'all job, for advocating for us every single day. I want to thank the chair for advocating every day. Thank you for your service. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rico. Next would be Doris Ray. Doris, go ahead.
Sorry, muting problems. I wanted to follow up on the public comment that was given regarding waiting online for, or waiting on the phone for somebody to answer a call when calling in about where's my ride for 40 minutes. And I, even though it's only one person who's made that comment so far, and I guess the lady herself also said that she had experienced problems, since time on waiting online for an operator is one of the ADA paratransit performance requirements, I would like to make either as just a comment with a follow-up motion or a motion to the committee that the Metro Access Committee ask for some statistics about how frequently people are on long calls, waiting, and you know, what the status is there, and what could be done to remedy that. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doris. Madam Chair, Rush, this is Anu. And at this point, we have no further hands up for public comments section. The next topic of discussion is by the AAC members, the AAC bylaws.
Okay, well, Paul, you're next.
All right. Anu, may I share my screen?
Yes, give me one quick second. You should be able to do that now.
All right, AAC members. So we got up last time when we were So let me give a little background. The bylaws subcommittee, we worked this summer for suggestions for edits, and now we're coming back to you with the draft edits of the bylaws. And we got up to section Article 2, Section C, responsibilities. And what I'm going to do for the benefit of all the committee members is read out a little bit of each section, and then take any comments in terms of things that were already suggested for change or anything else that you would like to see change, and make sure I add those in there so we make sure we're tracking changes as we're going through this document for in terms of revision to present to the board of directors. And as I always say, do note that once it's reviewed, it has to be approved by the board of directors. It can be altered by them and or commentary from WMATA legal team. So under C, responsibilities, the AAC shall serve in an advisory capacity, providing recommendations to the board of directors, and may work with staff to, number one, educate themselves about Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, and the administrative process as they relate to providing accessible transportation by bus, rail, and paratransit. Number two, review, analyze, and prepare recommendations on issues that relate to the provision of accessible Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access service. Number three, attend, listen, and speak at community meetings to better learn and represent riders' perspectives. I'm going to stop at the first three of the 14 bullets here to see if there's any comments on that.
Mr. Samuelford, this is, I know we have two AAC members with their hands up. First is Doris Ray. Second is Tino Calabia.
All right, go ahead, Doris.
Doris, if you would unmute. Okay, there you go.
Hello. I didn't Anu. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, okay. Your hand, your virtual hand is up. Okay. I can put
it
that
was from, down. It was from before.
Okay. No okay. problem. I can put that down. Tino, did you want to make any comments?
Yes. Not on what Paul has just meant, but on what's been on the minds of outsiders, in particular, well, I won't name them, but at least two people who are of the public in recent months have said that have raised problems around the tenure of members. And so is there any...
There are suggestions for that portion, Tino. But I haven't gotten to it yet. I wanted to go in the order of the document. So if everyone's in agreement with this portion, then we can keep going down to the until we get to that section.
How far along is that? Because we might not get to it as we haven't gotten to much until right now. How far down is that? This has been a matter of concern for several months, as you know. Well, you haven't been to all of the meetings, but this has been raised a number of times. I'm sorry that Patrick Sheehan is not here, because it's raised in the, his context of his tenure.
Tino, this is Anu, and Madam Chair Rush and Paul. Just to clarify that the AAC bylaws is being reviewed by the AAC committee. We are going from the beginning of the document. The committee is going to review the entire document. As Paul was clarifying, that we are going page by page, section by section. And the tenure is going to be a little bit later in the document.
So just one point, Anu, will there be time to discuss the budget?
Today?
Yes.
This is the last topic for today's meeting.
Well, excuse me, but we really need to get to the budget again. And I don't know how to do that. Given that I thought we were going to discuss the budget, but I gather people were just recounting what happened at the hearings. What happened at the hearings is one thing, but what has to happen now, especially with respect to Virginia, is to get Virginia to make its share for the bailout money.
Okay. And Tino, I completely understand what you're saying, and I appreciate those comments. We have tried to spend substantial amount of time on the budget discussions, and that is one of the major reasons why we were not able to discuss the AAC bylaws, and the review by the committee was postponed. So now that the budget hearings are complete, we are moving forward with the...
Doris just sent us a nice message about the details. Right now, there's a item 433.1H in Virginia, which deals with the budget amendment. And it's being decided in these next 48 hours. We really need to get in on that.
Okay. I would have to yield to Madam Chair Rush, since she is chairing this meeting today.
Ms. Rush? Because I would like to try to get through as much of this draft so we can get down to everything we need to get to today and over the next couple of meetings.
Yeah, while we're waiting for Denise, keep in mind that the whole business of tenure is a real concern, not just us, but to outsiders. And it's been going.
So when we get to that section, we will review it. But I need to get through this, as is, in terms of transparency here. So that will be, we will get to that. Thank you. So if there's no questions about these first three under this section right here, I'm going to read the next four in terms of AAC responsibilities. Develop, recommend, which take into consideration the accessibility needs of people who use Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, and that consider the financial impacts of different solutions on both consumers and WMATA. That is number four on the responsibilities for AAC members. Number five, assist WMATA in soliciting consumer comments on pending federal mass transit legislation and paratransit legislation. Number six, support when appropriate WMATA's application for federal grants. Number seven, assist WMATA in publicizing WMATA programs and information affecting the transportation of customers who are seniors or who have disabilities. Are there any questions on these bullet items in terms of responsibilities? If not, I'll go on. Number eight, execute and adhere to the AAC standards. Oh, yes?
I apologize for interrupting. Doris just raised her hand. Doris, are you trying... if you would unmute yourself and go ahead and make your comments about the topic of discussion. Thank you.
Hi. My only question, Paul, about the section is the item in assisting WMATA in preparing, I believe it was...
assist WMATA in
proposals.
Assist WMATA in publicizing WMATA programs and information affecting the transportation of customers who are seniors or who have disabilities.
It was one of the last things that you read. Assist them in federal grants.
So that was point number five. Assist WMATA in soliciting consumer comments on pending federal mass transit legislation and paratransit legislation.
So what, I have no objection. I'm just asking, what did you envision that entailing? Was that in there before? I don't think so. And I don't see anything wrong with it, but I'm just saying, what are we envisioning for that? I know that DOT over the last 6 months has come out with a couple of things. So.
All right. But that was in there before. I just bring it up for any comments or anything I need to put in there for us to
consider. I didn't realize that. Okay.
All right. No problem. So number eight is under responsibilities, execute and adhere to the AAC standards of conduct policy as outlined in attachment B, including any subsequent revisions. Number nine, establish annual goals for the AAC, which are derived from the subcommittee work plans. Number 10, interact with the Riders Advisory Council, in parentheses, RAC, which advises the Board of Directors on WMATA's mainstream transportation facilities. Number 11, interact with other regional advisory groups to include Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Transportation Planning Board, Access for All Committee, and other disability-related transportation advisory groups. Number 12, work with WMATA to support hearings for customers appealing Metro Access eligibility determinations and or suspensions of Metro Access service. I'm going to stop here to see if there's any comment for this, Anu.
Okay. Doris, did you still want to make any additional comments?
And there are two more under this section here. And number 13 is where we're suggesting some revision. If not, I'm going to read 13 and 14 and with the revision for 13 and see if there's any discussion.
All right, Gino, if you would unmute yourself.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep. If you could back up to interact with Riders Advisory Council.
Yep, number 10.
We ought to be more specific of that. As I mentioned at a recent meeting, we only learned about what the Riders Advisory Council was doing, the letters that it had prepared to send to officials in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C., the fact that they had already prepared a kind of videography and that they were planning to show it. All these things we never knew about until they were just about to happen. We then got copies of letters that went out. I'm not objecting to the letters, but we never learned about that. And so there has to be more specificity about how the so-called interaction with the Riders Advisory Council takes place. There should be reports on from what we learn about whatever our representative learns about their activities, and also they should learn about our activities. And I'm not sure that that's been completed. So somehow there has to be more specificity in number eight or whatever.
So what I'm putting here, and I'm going to highlight in blue to come back to, is more specific discussion, more specifics about what the interaction looks like.
Yes, thank you. There really has to be more specificity about that. we've been lacking in that regard.
Thank you, Tino. Next would be Dr. Posner, followed by Sandy Newsell.
Yes, to the two points that Tino made, in the bylaws of the RAC, the chair of the AAC is an automatic member of that committee. And over the years that the RAC has existed, and the chair of the AAC has attended all of those meetings, whenever there is an overlap, and they have a subcommittee working on things that we are working on, such as the budget, those subcommittees have always worked together by sharing information. In addition, the chair of the AAC has always shared their report to the board with the chair of the RAC and vice versa, so that we know what each are doing. So there has been interaction between the two. As far as the quarterly meetings with the executive committee of the board, that is something that historically was set up by the board. They were discontinued by the board. So it's not anything that the AAC has done. We were happy to participate and would be happy to participate again. But having that in our bylaws, we do not have the power to call the executive committee of the board to meet with us. We do, in fact, invite all members of the board to come to our meetings and to meet with us. And later on, I would suggest taking that out of the bylaws, but we might pass a motion later reminding the board how valuable it was to have members of the AAC meet quarterly with the executive committee of the board. And in fact, it was so effective that the board then decided to have both the AAC and the RAC meet with them quarterly to discuss issues that affected both. So I would recommend removing that particular item because it's irrelevant. We do not have that power.
All right, so which number are you talking to in terms of responsibilities?
14, engage with the board's executive committee quarterly to discuss disability. And instead, I recommend that during our meeting, we make a motion that the AAC requests continuing quarterly meetings with the board executive committee. And we can wait for the next meeting. I'll make that motion if no one wants to make that motion tonight. But it's just clutter right now.
So you want to recommend removal of this clause and present a motion to address it.
This is Ms. Rush. We also need to make note that whoever is the next chair of the AAC committee know that that's their responsibility to attend the RAC meeting monthly. And don't forget to attend
it. A certain Patrick will let them know.
All right, so let's get back to this. I made notes for right here for to follow up on more specifics about what the interaction looks like with RISE Advisory Council, as Tino stated, and Phil's suggestion about number 14, record removal of this clause and present a motion to address it. So let me read 13 and 14 just for everyone's sake, because 13 has this suggestion to it. So it originally reads for number 13, attend public hearings, town hall meetings, and ad hoc work group meetings. The new language you want to use, so the original language is attend public hearings, town hall meetings, and ad hoc, and we're adding in AAC work group meetings. And then also new A language that's in blue is including Metro-sponsored site visits, special projects, and beta testing software where appropriate.
Poll on 13, I don't know if you want a subgroup about safety exercises, that safety exercises where the members of the AC are not required to sign a waiver of protection.
So you would like to see in 13 and put in something about safety exercises. Is that correct?
Yes. We were happy to attend and participate because it's important, but not sign a waiver saying, well, if we fall off a bridge into the river, we're on our own.
So I put attending and safety exercises, but need to clarify about the waiver as a note. Just spelling later. I just want to make sure I get that note in. All right, and then I have 14 engaged with the board's executive committee. Yes?
I raised my hand to try to make a comment on the point that was just made.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Doris. Okay.
So it and it's kind of a question to Phil in a way. I think that that I would not include this because this is a list of the responsibilities, right, of the AAC, and I don't think that this is the place to bring up the issue. I think the issue should be brought up separately because the bylaws are, you know, standard operating procedures that and things that we're responsible for, and they will go through the board for the WMATA board for approval and blessing and such, and I don't think that our bylaws should be a place to put them on the spot about this, and so I would suggest a little bit more vague language, you know, like activities that support staff in assessing new procedures or equipment, or I'm just throwing it out there right now.
Rather than
something that would be a bylaws responsibility of the AAC.
Because remember that. Because ultimately the board has to approve this and legal would have to approve this, and it may or may not be approved. All we can do is suggest.
But if we put an open-ended statement about those kinds of activities and then perhaps again use a motion to recommend that the whatever you call them, the help me with what it's called, what you just said, when we go to test out new facilities and whatever, that be among them, but I wouldn't get into the issue of the releases in our bylaws is all.
This is Ms. Rush. I agree with what Doris is saying because that is up to the individual. If they don't want to participate and you have to sign a waiver, don't sign it. It shouldn't be affecting our bylaws.
Okay.
So can we agree that it should, it would be probably as part of the new language that was suggested, including Metro-sponsored site visits, special projects, and beta testing software where appropriate, including Metro-sponsored, it's like a site visit, a safety exercise, that's in that general type of language that
we
propose.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we can live with that. All right.
But just not the waiver issue, you know, the waiver issue, because in bylaw.
All right.
Okay. Paul, we have three more people with their hands up. Sandy had raised her hand. And then Steve Caffin and Vanessa Coles.
All right. Steve?
Myself, great. Okay, I agree with Doris. First, let's change, you know, Paula, number 13. Let's just change that word meetings to activities. All right, on the first line, you know, work group meetings, they're more activities. So let's change it to activities.
So work group activities.
Sure.
So,
and I would say instead of the word including, why don't we say such as? That helps it be a little bit open-ended. And we really don't need to name specifically safety exercises because in a way they're an element of site visits. And we're just saying such as. That is, we're just giving a few examples. So by using such as instead of including, let's consider taking out the safety exercise mention at all. And the other thing is, I agree that number 14 probably could be eliminated without any disturbance to the document. I think that's right. Just for number 13, change the word meetings to activities.
All right, I'm just keeping the original word because that's the original meetings, and I put in parentheses activities, so we know that. And then this was already proposed, so
such as
I just kept it, you know, I can change that to such as Metro sponsored site visits, special projects,
and I suggest you take out entirely the mention of safety exercises because I think group activities covers it and site visits covers it.
Okay.
And then we don't have to get involved in the waiver question.
All right. Is that acceptable to everybody? All right. And 14, I already made a note. Recommendation. Okay. With engage with. So 14 is engage with the board's executive committee quarterly to discuss disability related issues with fixed route and paratransit service. And I put in parentheses, recommend remove of this clause and present a motion to address it at a future AAC meeting, and I'll leave that for that. So,
and we have Vanessa.
All right, go ahead, Vanessa.
Alert, audio now unmuted.
This is Zoom Vanessa, meeting. Thank you. I guess I'm in this kind of the same vein in that maybe we need to mention, because some of us work full and part-time, cannot attend some of those meetings. So somewhere in there, either make it optional or make that statement that you participate.
Alert. Halo, caps lock on.
So in other words, you want to say the things that we are attending are optional?
Well, somehow stay, you know, because again, some of us work, we cannot participate. You have to take off work to participate in some of those things.
So somehow I'm going to put in parentheses, mention that participation in these.
This is Sandy. I think that's already covered with the phrase where appropriate. That implies that not everybody has to go all of the time.
Okay, there you go.
And for the record, I just want to read Kelly Simonow's comment. She agrees with Doris.
If appropriate. Yes, for his where appropriate. If appropriate, because... Mm-hmm. may not be appropriate for me.
All right. So everyone can agree with, I'll read it again, number 13, attend public hearings, town hall meetings, and ad hoc and a new language AAC that's inserted, old language work group meetings, and we're changing the word meetings to proposed activities, and then such as this new language added in, Metro-sponsored site visits, special projects, and beta testing software where appropriate. And then Anne brings into number 14, which I read, which are recommend, which is engaged with the board's executive committee quarterly to discuss disability related issues with fixed route and paratransit service, with Phil's recommendation of removal of this clause, and present a motion to address it in a future AAC meeting. So that
well, I raised my hand, Paul, on number 14.
Okay.
And I suggest
okay, so what I'm raising my hand for is to suggest that this item, like number 13,
alert,
could be continued in there if we didn't specifically say the quarterly meetings, but that we haven't that we have either the AAC or its leadership have an active communication and liaison with the WMATA board as appropriate. I'm just suggesting an alternative to deleting it entirely.
Oh, for number 14. So let me put this in. Make that statement again, Doris.
Okay, so the statement would be in order to remove reference to the quarterly meetings, which the board isn't doing anymore, that we make a statement that that AAC members would as appropriate engage in active communication with the WMATA board, after communication and exchange of information, whatever, what's appropriate to what we did at the quarterly meetings, but just say that as appropriate and requested by the WMATA board. And that leaves it open, and then we can do the motion that Phil is talking about under this activity 14. Leaves it open for us to request any number of things of them.
All right. So I have down as an alternative, AAC members would engage as appropriate. Actively engage in communication
with the WMATA board and attend meetings, and attend meetings with them as requested or something like that. So we can leave it open that we request of them, they request of us.
Get that back to you right now. All right, and then I need to put this new alternative.
This is Sandy. I think it boils down to leaving 14 the way it was, just dropping out the word quarterly. Leave it to say, engage with the board's executive committee to discuss disability-related issues with fixed route and paratransit service, period. All of this other stuff that you're adding, I don't think helps. Just dropping the quarterly.
Yeah, I think it could be as clean as that.
All right, so go ahead with that, Sandy.
Okay. Engage with the board's executive committee and then delete quarterly, draw a line through quarterly.
All right. So I'll just put, before I haven't figured out how to put the omit quarterly. because I have to figure all this out. All right. And then...
So that ultimately it will read, engage with the board's executive committee to discuss disability-related issues with fixed route and paratransit service.
And Sandy, I'd like to suggest that engage with the board the way it's worded, right, on a regular basis. Well, that leaves it open to them to that. Then we open the discussion. Engaging with the board, we do that all the time. We talk to members on various issues, but as a body, and as individuals as well.
We need to move on so we can get some.
Sure.
We really need to move on so we can get some other areas covered, please.
All right. I think I captured it here. What everyone is saying. All right. So section D is communication with boards, with board and staff. And this reads, to ensure communication of activities with the board of directors and staff, the AAC will provide minutes of its monthly meetings to the Department of Access Services, which shall share those minutes with the general manager / chief executive officer and the board of directors. The AAC leadership will report its activities to the board on a quarterly basis. A brief report may be made at the beginning of either a regular board or AAC meeting that is open to the public on items that are within the mission and goals of the AAC. Any questions about that section D, communication with board and staff?
Paul, Carol Lopez just raised her hand. Carol, would you like to make some comments?
Yes, please. Because we have reorganized our department, and we need to, instead of saying monthly meetings to the Department of Access Services, we should change that to the Department of System-Wide Accessibility.
Department of, I'm going to add in blue, System-Wide Accessibility. Thank you, Karen. All right. Anything else with that? That will be the new language. So we are going to, let me put here, change. Yeah. That's going to be replaced with system-wide accessibility here. All right. Clean that up later. All right, and I'll take care of spelling later. Anything else for this section?
You know, Paul, I was going to ask, do we really need to specify the chain of communication, because our charter makes us directly responsible to the WMATA board, and communicating on a regular basis is our responsibility. But if every time there's a change in organizational structure or bureaucracy, then we would have to change this. Why can't we just say that we will communicate with the WMATA board through established
channels? I'm going to let Carol answer that, maybe, staff.
Doris, WMATA doesn't change the organization very often. In fact, it's been, I've been with WMATA for 13 years and we've been with the same type of organization. I think it's important to keep
why would you why would you suggest that we have to even go through the manager to communicate with the WMATA board, because we have a direct communication with them?
It goes through so Anu works for system-wide accessibility. The entire interaction happens that way.
Carol, if I may just add that, because I am in the Department of System-Wide Accessibility, I have a chain of command, just like you said. Also, when the review is complete by the AAC of these bylaws, it will be, shared further with legal counsel. So if at that point it's deemed appropriate to remove that, then we can, that can be done. We can share the comments.
All right, so I can put the comment in.
Thank you.
There. As to the All right. E, standards of conduct. In all matters, AAC members must conduct themselves according to the highest ethical standards. To that end, it is imperative that AAC members, in their private financial relationships and in their conduct as a member of the AAC, strictly avoid engaging in actions that create conflicts of interest or the appearance of a conflict of interest. It is likewise imperative that AAC members act and appear to act impartially in their conduct as members of the AAC by avoiding any actions that might result in a favored treatment or appearances thereof towards any individual, private organization, consultant, contractor, or potential consultant or contractor. The AAC chair is responsible for maintaining order in the meeting, and the following standards will be observed. Number one, any AAC member desiring to speak shall address the chair, and upon recognition of the chair, shall speak only to the question under debate. Number two, members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments during AAC meetings. The chair may invite WMATA staff members, board members, consultants, community organizations, or other parties to make presentations or comments before the AAC. AAC members and members of the public are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful and courteous manner. Questions from committee members about standards of conduct, E, section E. Anu, anyone?
We do not have any hands up.
All right. Section F, media inquiries. The AAC shall advise the staff of all media inquiries. The AAC member contacted shall make every effort to make clear that he/she is responding to the inquiry either as an individual, in parentheses, for matters where the AAC as a body has not taken a formal position, in the parentheses, or on the behalf of the AAC, for matters where the AAC, in accordance with its bylaws, has voted on and agreed to a formal position. Any questions about F media inquiries? Anu, anyone?
No, we do not have any hands up on that either.
All right, I'm going to move next to
just raise.
I just raised my hand to see if we need any language in there that would clarify that any communication with media, meaning in relationship to WMATA, Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access Service, but for example, the reason I'm only raising this is because I get requests from media about local transportation service or perhaps even something that may relate to, let's say bus stops in Arlington or Fairfax and consumers' problems and maybe they're working on a story. So my question is, should we have something in there that says that on matters specifically related to issues in WMATA and AAC's purview? Or it's a question, and you can take it as a question to be brought up at a later discussion if you want. But it just occurred to me as I was listening to the reading.
Well, we need to move on. We will put it if you want to discuss it later, Doris.
All right. So
yeah,
the comment.
I'm saying put it in the parking lot. Yes.
Okay. So in the parking lot, can you state your question again so I can have it down and highlight it in blue so we can get back to it?
Just making whether what we're saying is you can't talk to the media without making WMATA or AAC aware, and I just want to make sure that it's specific to WMATA-related issues.
So whether we can speak to media,
rather than things like local government or because I serve on the COG, you know, the COG issue has transportation issues too.
So in other words, your question relates to whether we can speak to media and whether without contacting WMATA first for guidance.
Yeah.
All right, I have that down.
Paul, we have Steve and Tino there with their hands up.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm unmuted. Paul, I don't know where we should put this, but don't we need something to the effect that members, when a member is giving testimony or performing other communications within the personal communications within WMATA or outside, should ensure that they specify that the communication is their own and they're not speaking on behalf of the AAC. I don't know if we need that, but I know that we certainly are sensitive to that when we're giving testimony or other things.
So I need to put another comment in here. So that's a question.
It wouldn't be in media. It would be somewhere else, perhaps perhaps above.
I'm trying to think. Communication would go on the board staff. And can you send that to me in email and that to me in a new, and that way we can figure out where this would be incorporated, because I don't see that right now in the document where it would be best fit to drop that as a parking lot type of question.
Right. No, I was looking for, I couldn't find it either, but it's rather important. I'll drop you some phrasing.
Yeah,
follow.
It's this is Debbie Fisher. Could I suggest you put it with conflict of interest?
Conflicts of interest?
Yeah.
All right, and that's we haven't gotten to that yet, right?
I thought you just mentioned something to that effect, but you may not have done a specific one. But that would be an appropriate place to consider putting it.
Make sure I get this down. Okay, so I'm going to keep it under media, and then we'll figure out where to move it. I think that's probably going to be the best thing. So, well, it's still fresh in our minds. So let me put here. So that's question. So that's one and two. It's working right. We'll figure out where this would fit into.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. That's the gist of it.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I'm going to go to next.
Tina wanted to
speak. Yes, Debbie Fisher just reminded me, in effect, that a letter to the Post was published by the Post. It had some bearing on the kinds of things we deal with, transportation. But I never identified myself as a member of the AAC or that I was writing as a member of the AAC. I only appeared there with my name as an individual. We're not prevented from writing to newspapers or talking to the media or answering the media when they call us. I mean, if the Washington Post or New York Times called me up on a question related to disabilities, it'd be rather awkward to try and say, well, first of all, I have to check with the WMATA board or the WMATA staff as to whether I can even talk to you. I assume I don't have to do that, and I assume that I can continue to have things published in my name that do not identify me as a member of the AAC.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Doris, do you have any further comments?
Yes. Actually, if you're writing a letter to the editor of the Post, it is their protocol that you do declare any allegiance like that. For example, if I was writing a letter to the Post on my own as an individual, I might say that in the body of the text, and then the Post will ask, you know, your name and your information, and then they will ask you to identify any organization that you might. So usually it's the protocol for most press outlets and broadcast outlets to ask you if there is, and I've seen the Post often say the writer is a member of the WMATA AAC, and I've seen people, particularly I think when I've seen
Doris, we do need to move on.
Patrick on radio declare, that he's speaking as an individual, but not for a
Doris.
Member.
Doris,
may we go move forward? We haven't. Can we move forward, please?
Yes. All right. So we're going to Article 3 next, which is membership, Section A, composition.
Paul, this is Anu.
Yes.
Sorry about the interruption. Just to state for the record that it is 7:14. Madam Chair, did you want to go ahead and take a few more minutes to discuss the bylaws? And at 7:20, we could move forward with the bus and rail subcommittee report and Metro Access subcommittee report? Or would you rather spend the rest of
the... with the bylaws, and we just have to bypass the subcommittee reports this month because we need to get through this.
That's perfect.
As far as we can.
Thank you. I just wanted to get that clarification. Thank you. Paul, please go ahead.
All right. So Article 3 is membership. Section A is composition. The AAC shall consist of 18 regular members and two additional members recommended by the chair of the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, Access for All Committee, AFA. All members of the AAC will be appointed by WMATA's Board of Directors. Six, and we do have a question of how to get this worded in to add in, does this include Loudoun County, Virginia as part of the WMATA compact? And then from each of WMATA's signatory jurisdictions. Additionally, honorary emeritus and or ex officio members may, with new language inserted, be nominated by the AAC and approved by the Board of Directors. That's the new sentence added in. Honorary and ex officio members are entitled to the rights and privileges of membership whenever such a member is available to participate in the scheduled, let me scroll down here, in the scheduled meetings of the AAC as a non-voting member. To ensure the representative nature of the AAC, to the extent possible, the AAC will work to ensure that membership is equitably apportioned among the jurisdictions, types of disability, and seniors. An AAC member may be both a senior citizen and a person with a disability, and may also be selected by the Board of Directors from an organization serving persons with disabilities and or seniors. To ensure that a broad diversity in viewpoints are representative, preference will be given to prospective members that have affiliations with organizations serving the disabled or seniors and who have expertise and experience in the activities and policies of those organizations sufficient to represent the customers those organizations serve. And I'll stop there for comments.
I have a comment. Can I be recognized anew?
Yes, actually, Carol had her hand up, and then you, Tina, and then Doris, and then Philip Weintraub.
All right, Carol?
I had a really quick edit, please. Instead of saying the disabled, please let's put people first language and say people with disabilities.
Right.
Okay. All right, so now I have to go down. Where was that as I was reading?
I'm sorry, you scrolled too fast for me.
All right, was it in the first paragraph here?
I think it was on the second.
Yeah, the disabled. That was my comment, too.
It's on the second paragraph on that page that you're there.
Be a senior person, person with disabilities and seniors.
To ensure that a broad diversity in viewpoints are represented, preference will be given to prospective members and have affiliations with organizations serving. That's where you need to put people.
Oh, people with
serving people, serving yeah. For example, and representing the
disability. Go ahead.
And also, let's change the term seniors to older adult.
Older adult? Okay.
Yes. So is it serving people with disabilities
Carol,
or older adults? Yes, sir.
I wouldn't do that because on the buses, on the metro trains, and other places, the official language for priority seating, for example, is for seniors and people with disabilities, not for older adults.
Mm. Okay.
That's the official language.
I see. Okay, we have been moving towards the more current terminology describing people who are over 65 as older adults.
Well,
65 and older, maybe we could use the word 65 and older.
You know, at age 88, it's not a personal thing with me whether you call me a senior or an older adult. I'm just saying that in the language on the buses and the metro rail and other places, it refers to people with disabilities who have priority seating and seniors, not older adults, not
Well, we can go back to that. We will have to check with what our sign.
All right. So what I have done with that sentence, I'll read it out. To ensure that a broad diversity in viewpoints are representative, preference will be given to prospective members that have affiliations with organizations serving. It says serving with the disabled, and I put in blue the new language, people with disabilities, to be changed to or seniors, and I put with a question mark older adults. So that will be checked out by staff for recommended language and who have expertise and experience in the activities and policies of those organizations sufficient to represent the customers those organizations serve. Next person.
Philip Weintraub, go ahead.
I was also thinking that you should add like that also should be people use all services with that metro offers, like such as metro rail, metro bus, metro access, whatever, because we need to be sure all aspects of the metro is accessible.
And which sentence is this you want me to make that modification to? Philip?
Yeah.
Your point is well taken. Is there something you want me to change in this part? Or that was just a comment you were making?
That was just a comment I was making, was I think that we should include because we just need to be sure that all aspects of Metro is accessible.
Sandy, can we help make a suggestion as to where we can incorporate Phil's suggestion?
Is she on?
She's going to help me with this.
Okay. So all I think Phil's point is that it's not just people from the jurisdictions, it's people representing people who are familiar with all of the metro bus, rail, and metro access services. Was that your point, Phil?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So to the extent possible, the AC will work. Okay, so among the jurisdictions, types of disabilities and seniors, I think among the jurisdictions, types of ridership, I don't know.
Among the jurisdictions.
Add in.
So, okay, where am I seeing this?
Okay, stop. Don't move around.
Okay.
To ensure the representative nature of the AAC to the extent possible, the AAC will work to ensure that membership is equitably apportioned among the jurisdictions.
Ah, there.
Knowledge okay. of Metro bus, well, Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, types of disability, and seniors.
Ah, okay. So I need to see
something. Would that there. Solve it?
Yes.
Okay. So in blue, I'm going to put knowledge of Metro Bus.
Rail. Yeah.
Metro Rail. Six. And the time, and then put that in blue. Right. 5 more minutes, next person.
Okay, I
Paul,
see.
Could you Thomas read what has... you just edited out loud?
Oh, okay. So, let me read this. So, ensure the representative nature of the AAC to the extent possible. The AAC will work to ensure that membership is equitably apportioned amongst the jurisdictions. With knowledge of Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access. So let me put within here. Comma, types of disability, and seniors.
Okay, Paul, this is anyone. We have Thomas with his hand up and Steve Kaplan, and it is 7:26, so we only have 4 minutes.
All right. So
this is Thomas. Make this quick. When it comes to throwing up the age 65 or whatnot, recognize some organizations do recognize you as being a senior at 55. So it might be confusing for some people when you say 65 as across the board, recognizing people as a senior. So it shouldn't be no age put down there. Senior is good enough.
Thank you, Thomas. Next person.
Steve, go ahead.
In that paragraph beginning to ensure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see anything in there that speaks to just using the service. In other words, a user, you know, we've got preference giving to members that have affiliations with organizations and who have all this expertise in policies and procedures. But what about a good user? We want we want them also to be users of the services that we represent.
So what about saying use and knowledge of Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access? Would that help clean that up?
I think that would, Paul. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Well taken. Use and
knowledge. We didn't even get down to the grassroots tonight. Are the committee members willing to have a meeting that only does the bylaws, squeeze in one meeting where we just everybody attend and we get the fine tooth combing of the bylaws, because it's been dragging and dragging and dragging. People have problems and concerns about the terms and the language, and we just don't have enough time to cover it. Can I get a motion that we, or can we agree to have a date that we have a meeting? Because bus rail meeting, you have important things to talk about. The Metro Access, we need to talk. We need to get this issue. This issue is just as important as the hearings.
Right,
no one agrees.
Well, I guess we will work with. You know, we got 1 minute left before our interpreters leave. I guess we'll work with a new and with her email with the AAC to find a date hopefully in the next 2 months to just work on this specifically for most of the AAC meeting so we get through as much as it is as possible. Can we do that anew? And then I guess we'll let you do your spiel before we need to close because it's 7:29.
So thank you, Paul. And yes, we can surely communicate further about that matter. Any members of the public would like to send their public comments, they can email or call. Email is metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
And I guess I will email you a copy of this anew so you can circulate this changes to the members.
Sure, please do.
I'll be doing that as soon as this meeting is over.
Thank you, Paul. Madam Chair Rush, it is 7:30 p.m.
Oh, can I get a motion to
adjourn?
End the meeting? And I would like for those who are in attendance to think about what we have discussed concerning the bylaws. Some may agree, some may not agree, but at least think about it, because the budget hearings and things that we need to take care of, we have been taking care of, but this issue has fallen to the wayside. Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move.
Second.
All right, good night, everyone, and thank you for attending. Have a good week.
All right.